理课堂听 class.com。
Model Test 9 Part 3 Listening Comprehension Section A
Directions In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, one or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spokenOnly once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices with A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then, mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line, though the center.
Question 11.You didn't seem to be able to sit still for class. Are you expecting something?
Yes, I'm expecting a call to see if I was accepted for the position at Coles. I could do with the cash.
What does the woman mean? Question 12. I feel horrible. Daisy was furious that I lost her notes. Do you think I should apologize again?
If I were you, I'd let her cool off for a few days before I approach her.
What does the woman suggest the man do?
Question 13. It's a miracle that Robert came out of the air crash alive.
That's indeed a miracle. All the other passengers were killed.
What do we learn from the conversation?
Question 14. Isn't it rather cold outside, Sally?
It is a bit, but I can't stand the terrible smoke inside. I'd rather stay here if you don't mind.
Why does the woman want to stay outside?
Question 15. The undergraduates could hardly understand the French lecture which was given last week.
Neither the graduate students could.
What does the man mean?
Question 16. Though we didn't win the game, we were satisfied with our performance.
You did a great job. You almost beat the world's champions. It's a real surprise to many people.
What do we learn from this conversation?
Question 17. I feel so uneasy about trusting David with our money. How about you?
Some people say he's not reliable, but others have a lot of confidence in him. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt.
What does the man mean?Question 18. When I go on a diet, I eat only fruit, and that takes off weight quickly.
I prefer to eat whatever I want, and then run regularly to lose weight.
How does the man control his weight? Now you will hear two long conversations.
Conversation 1.
Hi, Jack. Tomorrow's the big day. You must be excited about going to France for your first international conference.
The trip, yes, but not the preparation.
What do you need to do except pack?
You know how you always feel so awful whenever you make a big change in time zones? This time, I'm trying an anti-jet lag program, so I'll be alert even for the first day's lectures.
But how can you avoid jet lag? With that late flight and a 6-hour difference in time, it's bound to take you a couple of days to adjust.
Well, this program's supposed to get your body to feel like it's in the new time zone before you leave. The theory is that the food you eat actually tells your body when to be active and when to be restful. So changing your diet can help you be ready for the time change. You have to alternate feasting and fasting. You know, sometimes eat a lot and sometimes just a little.
Okay, now I see why you're not enjoying the preparation. I can't quite picture you fasting.
Actually, the worst is already over. 2 days before the flight, you're supposed to have only light meals and limit yourself to 800 calories.
That must have been tough.
Yeah, but I'm making up for it today. Feast day is much better, though I still don't get to eat any snacks after dinner. Questions 19 to 22 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 19. What is the conversation mainly about? Question 20. How is the program that Jack is using supposed to work? Question 21. Why isn't Jack enjoying the preparation for his trip? Question 22. What can be inferred about Jack's usual eating habits?
Conversation 2.
Hi, Mandy. How's everything going?
Not too good, I suppose.
What happened?
Well, you know I moved out from Mrs. Henser's 9 months ago, and all along I forgot to inform the registration office to get my address changed. Guess what? The library sent 3 reminder notices on the fines incurred on the overdue books, and Mrs. Henser kept the letters without returning them to the senders.
How did you find out?
Well, I went to the registration to get my transcript. But they said there are some outstanding fines that I have to settle before they can release it.
Then just pay the fine and you can get your transcript. What's the big problem?
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. But the fine came to $150, and that was a shock to me. I didn't expect it to come to that much.
Ooh, that's a bit of a bite. Did you keep the book for long? That's the first time I've come across such a big fine on the library loan.
Guess what? I checked with the library, and they told me 3 books are still outstanding. They're from 8 months ago. I thought I'd returned them.
Are you sure you returned the books yourself, or did you get someone to do it?
Well, hard to recall now, since it was so long ago. At that time, I was holding two jobs and had to juggle with school. I really thought I had returned them.
Tell you what, why don't you go back to Mrs. Henser and see if the books are still there? Otherwise, you'll have to pay for the lost books, and I'm sure they will cost more than $150.
I guess that's the only choice I'm left with right now. Questions 23 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 23. Why didn't the woman receive the reminder? Question 24. What can we learn about the books the woman had borrowed? Question 25. What will the woman do next to settle the problem?
Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on the answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center. Passage 1. It's common knowledge that music can have a powerful effect on our emotions. In fact, since the 1930s, music therapists have relied on music to calm patients and help control pain. Now psychologists are confirming that music can also help relieve depression and improve concentration. For instance, in a recent study, 50 surgeons were given some high-stressed math problems to solve. They were divided into three groups. One worked in silence, and in another, the surgeons listened to music of their choice on the headphones. The third group listened to classical music chosen by the researchers. The results of the study may surprise you. The doctors who got to choose their own music experienced less stress and scored better than the others. One possible explanation is that listening to the music you like stimulates alpha waves in the brain, increases heart rate, and expands breathing. That helps to reduce stress and sharpen concentration. Other research suggests a secondary relationship between music and the brain. By examining the blood of students after they listened to a variety of classical music selections, researchers found that some students showed a large increase in endorphin, a natural pain reliever. This supports what music therapists have known for years. Music can help revitalize or calm the patient.
Questions 26 to 29 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 26. What is the talk mainly about? Question 27. According to the speaker, how is the music therapy currently used in medicine? Question 28. What did the study done with surgeons show? Question 29. In the study of students exposed to classical music, what effect did the music have? Passage 2. The world's first completely automatic railway has been built under the busy streets of London. The railway is called the Victoria Line, and it is part of the complete London Underground Railway. The new Victoria Line was opened in 1969. This new line was very different from the others. The stations on the other lines need a lot of workers to sell tickets and to check and collect them when people leave the trains. This is all different on the Victoria Line. Here, a machine checks and collects the tickets, and there are no workers on the platforms. On the train, there is only one worker. If necessary, this man can drive the train, but usually he just starts it. It runs and stops by itself. The trains are controlled by electrical signals, which are sent by the so-called command spots. The command spots are the same distance apart. Each sends a certain signal. The train always moves at the speed that the command spots allow. If the command spot sends no signals, the train will stop. Most of the control work is done by computers. The computers also fix the train's speeds and send the signals to the command spots. Other machines make sure that the trains are always a safe distance apart. One train may stay too long at a station. The other trains will then automatically move closer, so there is no danger of accidents on the line.
Questions 30 to 32 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 30. What happened to the complete London Underground Railway 38 years ago? Question 31. Who does all the checking and collecting tickets on the Victoria Line? Question 32. What is the task of the one worker on the Victoria Line train? Passage 3. If you've been on campus for very long, I'm certain that you've already heard about this course. You may know that last semester about 50% of the students enrolled in my course failed it. Let me explain how this came about before you jump to any conclusions. In the first place, since this is a composition class, I expect my students to follow certain rules of formality. Unfortunately, many students today dislike having to follow rules of any kind, especially those which they may feel to be unnecessary. For example, I ask that each of your papers be typed and centered on the paper correctly. I count off points for various kinds of mistakes. A misspelled word will cost you 5 points. You've lost 25 points if you've misspelled 5 words. If you write an incomplete sentence, you've lost 10 points. If you give me 2 complete sentences as one without adequate punctuation, you've lost 15 points. I do not accept late papers. You will receive a 0 for any theme which you fail to submit on time. I expect you to read each assignment. To make certain that you have read the assignment, I will give you a short, unannounced quiz from time to time. This class meets on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. You will have a total of 6 major tests throughout the semester. Your final grade will be based on an average of the 6 major tests, the pop tests, and 8 written themes. If you have any questions at any time, you can see me on Tuesdays. My office is on the 2nd floor of this building. Your assignment for Wednesday is to read Hemingway's short story on page 55. Friday will be the last class day of this week, so you can expect to write a short in-class theme for me then. That's all for today. I'll see you on Wednesday.
Questions 33 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 33. How many points will a student lose if he misspells a word on the composition? Question 34. What must the students read for Wednesday? Question 35. What will the students do in class on Friday?
Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written.
There are about 105 males born for every 100 females, but this ratio drops to near balance at the age of maturity, and among 70-year-olds there are twice as many women as men. But the great universal of male mortality is being changed. Now, boy babies survive almost as well as girls do. 50 years ago, the chance of a baby, particularly a boy baby, surviving depended on its weight. A kilogram too light or too heavy meant almost certain death. Today, it makes no difference. Since much of the variation is due to genes, one more agent of evolution has gone. There is another way to commit evolutionary suicide: stay alive, but have fewer children. Few people are as fertile as in the past. Now, the number of births, like the age of death, has become average. Again, differences between people and the opportunity for natural selection to take advantage of it have diminished. For us, this means that evolution is over. The biological utopia has arrived. Strangely, it has involved little physical change. No other species fills so many places in nature. But in the past 100,000 years, even the past 100 years, our lives have been transformed, but our bodies have not. We did not evolve, because machines and society did it for us. Darwin has a phrase to describe those ignorant of evolution. They look at an organic being as a savage looks at a ship, as something wholly beyond his comprehension. No doubt we will remember a 20th century way of life, beyond comprehension for its ugliness. But however amazed our descendants may be at how far from utopia we were, they will look just like us.
There are about 105 males born for every 100 females, but this ratio drops to near balance at the age of maturity, and among 70-year-olds there are twice as many women as men. But the great universal of male majority is being changed. Now, boy babies survive almost as well as girls do. 50 years ago, the chance of a baby, particularly a boy baby, surviving depended on its weight. A kilogram too light or too heavy meant almost certain death. Today it makes almost no difference. Since much of the variation is due to genes, one more agent of evolution has gone. There is another way to commit evolutionary suicide. Stay alive, but have fewer children. Few people are as fertile as in the past. Nowadays, the number of births, like the age of death, has become average. Again, differences between people and the opportunity for natural selection to take advantage of it have diminished. For us, this means that evolution is over. The biological utopia has arrived. Strangely, it has involved little physical change. No other species fills so many places in nature. But in the past 100,000 years, even the past 100 years, our lives have been transformed, but our bodies have not. We did not evolve because machines and society did it for us. Darwin had a phrase to describe those ignorant of evolution. They look at an organic being as a savage looks at a ship, as at something wholly beyond his comprehension. No doubt we will remember a 20th century way of life beyond comprehension for its ugliness. But however amazed our descendants may be at how far from utopia we were, they will look just like us.
There are about 105 males born for every 100 females, but this ratio drops to near balance at the age of maturity. And among 70-year-olds, there are twice as many women as men. But the great universal of male mortality is being changed. Now, boy babies survive almost as well as girls do. 50 years ago, the chance of a baby, particularly a boy baby, surviving depended on its weight. A kilogram too light or too heavy meant almost certain death. Today, it makes no difference. Since much of the variation is due to genes, one more agent of evolution has gone. There is another way to commit evolutionary suicide. Stay alive, but have fewer children. Few people are as fertile as in the past. Now, the number of births, like the age of death, has become average. Again, differences between people and the opportunity for natural selection to take advantage of it have diminished. For us, this means that evolution is over. The biological utopia has arrived. Strangely, it has involved little physical change. No other species fills so many places in nature. But in the past 100,000 years, even the past 100 years, our lives have been transformed, but our bodies have not. We did not evolve, because machines and society did it for us. Darwin has a phrase to describe those ignorant of evolution. They look at an organic being as a savage looks at a ship, as something wholly beyond his comprehension. No doubt we will remember a 20th century way of life, beyond comprehension for its ugliness. But however amazed our descendants may be at how far from utopia we were, they will look just like us. ¶¶